Colleagues, it's now 10 o'clock. Let's start our meeting. It's a meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans to consider to receive a briefing on from two entities. One is the CCB on its annual report and responses to the AG of South Africa's audit outcomes, and two from its DMV on its 2021-22 annual report and responses to the AG. The DMV will also brief us on the interventions to remedy the underperformance and the under expenditure. And then we will then deal with the correspondence. In fact, I'm tabling the correspondence. From the Office of the Auditor General, the meeting will decide what it wants to do with it. And then lastly, we consider and adopt the minutes. Without much ado, let me check if there are any apologies. Brian?
Chair, we have an apology from the minister who is unavailable. The minister is abroad on official business. We also have an apology from Honorable Ntembu, who is unable to attend due to ill health. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. That assumes that the deputy minister is in the meeting, Brian.
Chair, I have not admitted him at the moment.
You have not admitted him at the moment. Okay. All right. Okay. So he will join us at some point. All right. So those are the two apologies: the minister and Ms. Ntembu. Let's then move quickly to the third item by the CCB. CCB, we're giving you, you have 19 slides. We're giving you 20 minutes. In other words, 20 minutes. The time now is 10:02. So at 10:22, I stop you. But I will start with the chair of the board with his remarks within the 20 minutes, and then ask the CFO to take us through. Over to you, colleagues from the CCB.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also thank the honorable members of the committee. Chair, for the past 2 years, 2 financial years, we were overshadowed by the COVID-19 pandemic from 2021-22 financial year. We are gradually recovering, and we are looking forward to the better future with a renewed hope. Given our situation as the CCB, we are heavily reliant and dependent on tourism revenue. We also like to thank the Department for the relief fund that gave that they gave us to rescue us from the situation of the COVID, because there were no tourists coming to the cathedral. As I've earlier said, Your Honor, that we are solely reliant on the tourism visiting revenue. I would also like to say we are also grateful from the Defence Works Formation from the Western Cape and the Army Support Base Western Cape on the day-to-day maintenance that they are doing in the this thing in the castle. And we hope that we'll keep the castle in good shape. Honorable Chair and the members of the committee, with the short briefing that I've given, I will ask the CEO of the Castle Control Board to put up a presentation and present our annual report to the portfolio committee and our responses to the AXA report, AXA finding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. General Mbuli, over to you, CEO.
Good morning, Honorable Mr. Kabat and honorable members this morning, and a beautiful morning in Cape Town. I don't know, wherever you are, it will probably be beautiful. You look beautiful in your red tie, Chairperson. So thank you for this support of this committee, and thank you also to General Mbuli for that brief and nice introduction. We are represented here by General Mbuli, the chairperson, Ms. Ade Achenbach, a board member, and the CFO, Mr. Mantlan Kewu, who you wrongly introduces me, who is going to present, but he is in the background. Whenever there's a dangerous figure, financial figure that somebody asks, he will be able to step in. It is 7 minutes past, Chairperson, so I will slide this presentation very quickly and really zoom in on the issues that confronted us during the past year, which was very much the year of recovery and bounce back, as the Chairperson has introduced us. Now, Chairperson, I can't see whether you can see the presentation, but is it fine from your side?
It is visible.
Okay. I'll put it in presentation mode then and run through it, Chairperson. Thank you. So on the second slide, we look at the castle as it was standing there 367 years ago and still standing. And very much the symbolism that's caught up in this theme is one of you know, colonialism, the Dutch East Indian Company, enslavement, oppression, armed oppression, the land dispossession, cultural genocide, etc. So our task, and Chairperson, this is I can't believe this is my 10th annual report that I'm involved in, and it is zipped away like this. So in a sense, it's also a decade of transformational or decolonial work that we present as a board here. We will touch on some of it. We perhaps need a separate briefing. We have more time to speak about those colonial work. It is now decolonial work that's now, I think, recognized globally on the African continent in South Africa. A month ago, we presented at the SAMA, South African Museum Association Conference, and people were really in awe what we could do, what people think could never be touched. So, yes, the past year was a year of recovery, and it was, in exchange, a year also of where we still grappled with the aftermath of COVID-19. But I really must commend the board and my team for what they achieved in this year. At the beginning of the year, one of the museums In the right-hand corner of the picture sets you the Cape Heritage Museum, won an award from the National Heritage Council. And 2 weeks ago, the latest museum, the Commercial Museum in the back courtyard on top of your picture, won a Western Cape Government Arts and Culture Award for Social Cohesion and Transformation. So it really demonstrated, and both of these museums are decolonial interventions, and they are very young, they are new. In fact, the Commercial Museum is fully online and it's not fully constructed yet, but you already have this national recognition. The global recognition will definitely follow, Chair. Then the next page, perhaps, it was in the Sunday Times on the 30th of March. In fact, yes, exactly at the end of this financial year that we're reporting on the front page of the Cape Times, it's a massive installation on the grass parking area, the corner of Castle, or what they call Baitekant and Darling Streets, and it's 118 real-size grades that you can't see from when you drive past, but you can see from the top of the Leerdam Bastion. It spells out the word justice. And it's the injustices of all the people who were tortured and died in under apartheid. Steve Biko, Imam Haroon, Neil Eggert, all of the known people who either, according to the media official reports, slipped on a bar of soap, who killed themselves, etc. And two of those graves, Imam Haroon's graves, and what is the other one, Ahmad Timo, both of the inquests are now open, have been opened. And we hope that the truth, justice will be finally be done. So it shows you how the Council of Good Hope, who on the top of the E of justice, was the gallows of the castle, on the top under the tree, in that more or less in that proximity, were the gallows and the stakes where people, for a minor infraction like reading a Quran, could have been sentenced to death on the very spot that the top of the justice is taken. So you don't have to go through this esteemed committee knows our objectives, where the mandate comes from, our alignment with the department, alignment with National Heritage Institutes, and alignment with the presidential priorities, etc. And I'm not going to go through that. Just about our transformational work on the left-hand side, how the bastion, probably the most important site at the castle, because it's there where the governor of the day, every governor after Van Riebeeck, will stand on this podium, the cut balcony, and will announce marriages, deaths, land position, enslavement, expeditions. All of those things would be announced from there. And on the right-hand side, if you come in now, you see the statues of King Langalibalele, Sekukuni, Atswayo, and Doman, who's just out of sight, who changing the dynamics of how the public view the castle, and the power dimension, power dynamics that played itself out under the balcony. Then, the expected outcomes, we've spoken about that. And Chairperson, this is probably the most important and most, if I don't cover anything, if you stop me, at least I've gone through this. It's a summary of the 110 pages of report that you had scrutinized in your free time. So the first one is, and I'm not going to return to that, is the issue of the Auditor General and the esteemed committee members were in the briefing of the Auditor General at the, what is it, the beginning of the month? Yeah, the first or second week of the month. So they know what the issues are. The Auditor General has focused on the last 4 years. In those 4 years, we have three clean audit reports and one unqualified report. And in that year one of the unqualified report, the issues with like administration, appointments, etc., has been addressed. Internal audit function, for instance, has been addressed. So I think most of them will not come up again. And we keep a record of what we call the critical key strategic issues on a risk register, so that the board and the audit committee regularly look at them. Now we also have full-time internal audit who can keep us accountable with that. Then the 5.5 million, and we will return to that when I quickly flash the table of how we spend it. And the fact, point number three, that we, under a year of recovery, gradual recovery, because the COVID restrictions for tourism were really lifted in at the beginning of this financial year, towards the end of last financial year, that we still could manage to this year recover to an amount of 3.3 million versus the quarter of a million last year and even less than a quarter of a million, half a million, I think, the year before. So we certainly on the upward curve, and with your support and with the word of mouth and with the ongoing programmatic activities and investing in marketing, we can move forward, Jefferson. Then we only missed three of our targets, and all of those targets relate to the tourism industry, the number of visitors through the door, income, and interns, because we couldn't, the universities around us wouldn't want to release their interns, but they are coming back now, because we must remember we are reporting retrospectively. So we're already more than six months in the new year, so we see those recoveries. Then the tourism numbers I've spoken about. Point number six, the ongoing deployment of the six regional work units. The chairperson has spoken about that. But chairperson, you wouldn't know what a relief it is if I'm confronted by some irate taxpayer who says, look this door, look at this window that is broken. And you can show these people in overalls and say, listen here, this is not your house. This is a building with over 400 rooms. You can't expect people to have this pick and span as the convention center for it. This is a 67-year-old building. And then they understand because they see there's women and men at work on site. Then point number seven, the media coverage, and I'll just explain a little bit here. We didn't spend or invest a lot in media or marketing campaigns, like in newspapers, magazines, flight magazines, social media marketing, radio, TV, because we simply were not sure about our income and the recovery. But through what we call in marketing, below the line marketing, through media exposure, the ETV, SABC, the Cape Times, the local newspapers, the social media, influencers, all of that, we managed to get over half a billion people knowing about the castle, reading about the castle, seeing images of the castle. And if we had to buy that, it would translate in an advertising value equivalent. That's how the industry measures it, meltwater, of 82 million. So really, that 82 million is value for money investment into the promotion and marketing of the castle with little inputs from our side, other than putting out media releases that speaks to whatever we going to present. And then the last point in my summary is that thanks to the 5.5 and I think Jefferson 4.9 the previous year, 4 point something the previous year, we could save 26 full-time jobs and over 1,000 temporary jobs when there's a film or an event or a concert or a gala dinner. Then we have waiters, we have support workers, we have construction workers, like with the Women King, the Hollywood top movie that's released at the beginning, end of September. We see hundreds of people scurrying around on site, repairing the site, and the actresses, the actors, the filmmakers, etc. So really, the wisdom of this committee and the ministry and the department to keep the doors open has paid off in terms of our socio-economic contribution towards the South Africa chair. I've spoken about that. I will not go through it. Those are the three targets that we've missed on the tourism and increased public interest. The first one is the visitor numbers and the revenue associated with that. And the other one were the interns. And as I said, Jefferson, they are coming back. Then just how we spend that, as you can see, most of our expenditure went into our administration, our salaries, our contracts, our keeping the lights on, you know, the gardening workers, etc. And the figure was skewed because we took on the board, thankfully took on the 8 contract workers who, when the contract of the company who cleaned the castle ended, the board took off what I now believe the wise decision to give them temporary relief and to have them on contract file. And on Friday, when the board deliberates on the structure, we will again review the contracts, the chairperson. But for relevancy, is the last column where we state what was the budget, what did we spend from the budget, and what were the savings. So in the far right-hand corner, you could see because of the positive increase in the revenue generation, we could make over 2.5 million of saving. And the CFO, who is online, has already informed Treasury that we want to retain the surplus, and that will also perhaps relieve the burden on the department to, in terms of the support, if any, coming from them. Then just revenue, this is our income generation, the 3.3 that I was talking about, Chairperson. If you look at how we did last year, 750,000, and how we did this year, and in your far to right hand corners, the 5.5 in the second column from the right, the 5.5 from the department certainly paid off a lot. So human resources, I just want to point out one thing, Chairperson, bullet number 3, our employment equity of the full-time, if we exclude the gardening workers, 8 gardening workers, then African females were 4, colored females 5, African males 5, colored males 3, white males 2, and 1 disabled African female, and the gardening workers was temporary, the contract workers are all African males, Chairperson. And we spent 4.7 million on wages and salaries. And no bonuses, Chairperson. There's some of the events. This is military veteran, 2 of the military veterans who fought with Chris Hani in the Wanky battle in what was then called Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and it's the book loans of Tata Willy, General Willy in the middle, one of the generals who fought in there, and on the left-hand side, General James April was also in that battle. I'm not going to speak to that. I've spoken to the 5.5. This is just one of the museums, the Cape Heritage Museum, with the Czechoslovakian ambassador at the UN standing with his family in there. Then I've addressed most of the BRR issues when I spoke about the Auditor General. There's a new boat that's been donated to us. The only thing is that we need the proper briefing with the minister, because since Minister Mapisa Nkula left for the speaker, we haven't had a complete briefing of handover, and we will talk to her about the board, composition of the board, safety and security, the fencing, etc. at the later stage. Just one of the installations, the original shoreline of Cape Town. Many Cape Townians can't believe that when they drive on strands, they actually drive in the water. When you drive up to Parliament, you drive in the water. So that's the original mark of this. So in conclusion, Chairperson, we want to build and thank this committee for the unwavering support, especially over the past 18 months, more than 18 now, maybe 20, 22 months. And thank you for serving those jobs. And with additional nominal support, very nominal, and you can see we are at 3.3 now, we will be able to take the transformation drive to a higher level. This is the second, the award that we won last week for social cohesion from the Western Cape government. And I want to thank you with a wonderful painting one of the artists, in-house artists, has done about the castle from the front quarter. And Koska Kulu, thank you very much.
Yes. Colleagues, this is the presentation from the AG, from the CCB. Ordinarily, it's with clean audit and the the manner in which they handle the state funds and the fact that they also keep the castle in pristine conditions, thanks to the regional works unit and the management of the castle. I would really have no issues to raise with the castle, except to thank them for doing a good job and ask them to keep it up. And he tells us that there are about 400 rooms in that castle. We've not been to that castle ourselves. We had wanted to pay a visit or at least to hold a meeting in the castle. Maybe our next physical meeting would be in the castle, I don't know. It depends on Brian's arrangement. I don't have anything much more to say about the thing. Colleagues, is there any comment to make?
Chairperson, just from my side, a comment. Also, great work that they've done. And I think we have seen the improvements also over the last year or so. I've attended a few functions of military units and commemorations there, and it is really, really good. The only thing is they must just please make sure that the grounds are properly maintained. Also, as you come into the castle, because that is your window to the outside, and people must perceive that as being incredibly positive. And I think the way that so many of the of whoever fought on which side in the past are making use of the castle and is obviously proud of what they see there and experience. They must keep up the good work. I mean, they're doing an immense service to the department and the military veterans specifically. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Mr. Maron. Mr. Shalembe?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's my gadget is giving up time to do. Chair, one must first, appreciate, the work being done by, the Council Control Board. It's always, good when, you see an entity doing well, despite challenges that are being faced, but they always try their best to get things right. Chairperson, I've noticed that, there is a good, a visit of, say, about 33,452 people to the Castle Control Board premises. But I think they had a target, of 128,000. Just checking if, there are any plans, to see that their vision or their dream of getting, say, about 120,000 people coming to the board, if there's any plan or whether they are just, giving up. And also looking, to the working relationship between, when it comes to the issue of maintenance with the DOD, that how is communication, is it something that is working? If there are challenges, what is that they are doing to ensure that, the communication and the working relationship is improved. But I want to support what's been said by Honorable Marie that I don't know, it's huge that we need a visit to that building. It's unfortunate that now we have say about 15 months in our term of office. We have been saying that we'll go and see. But I think it's better that we go and see it ourselves, and then we know, especially you as a chairperson, unless if maybe you have visited a place, alone. But Chair, if that can be made possible, that we visit that. It's not far, it's in Cape Town, but we can't afford to go there. I think to them it's like that we do not take, their job seriously, whereas they are producing a very, very good, production in that department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shodempe. Mr. Thabo Motle.
I was struggling with my button to unmute, Chair. I'm sorry about that, and good morning.
Good morning.
I've got just a concern, but let me take this opportunity, Chair, to actually follow suit and acknowledge and congratulate CCP for the continuous excellent work that they put in to ensure that they get a clean. Exercise initial prudence in terms of the public resources that they preside over. But my concern is around, and I know the CEO has clarified the issue of internship, but the issue of vacancies is a concern. Is there any reason why are they losing personnel? Is it because the working environment is not conducive for members who are working at the castle, or what is the issue? And what processes have they undertaken to ensure that those vacancies, because it can't be correct that when the statistics have indicated that the unemployment rate is high and you've got vacancies and you sit with them and you do not fill them with speed in an effort to address that particular challenge, which is a national challenge. So I think, for me, that is my concern. If it can be clarified, I'll be more than happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. CEO, you have 3 minutes to respond. It takes us to 25 to 11. CEO?
Right, I'm unmuted now, Chairperson.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Honorable Maria Shilembe, thank you so much for those very poignant questions, and I'll take the compliments even with higher regards. Thank you so much for that. Let me start with the difficult one at the bottom. I have to agree with Honorable Mhutle. If it wasn't for COVID, we wouldn't have coped with those three vacancies that we've lost, the marketing manager, the heritage manager, and the events manager. But because COVID, we didn't downscale, COVID downscaled our mandate for us, we could cope with those vacancies. But I agree, when we go to the board meeting on Friday, and the board strategic session for Friday, then that thing is high on the agenda because we can't cope anymore. It's putting severe stress on me, for instance, because I have to do media releases, marketing, blah, 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 etc. Bringing me to the second issue of raised by Honorable Shilembe about how do we increase to that 120,000. If you look at our spending, we only spend 5,000 rand on marketing. And the decision that we've taken to increase that at least to 100K for this year so that we get out into the magazine, joint marketing agreements, social media campaigns, to get people here, because it's no use that we are exposed to 500 million people around the world, but we don't offer them, you know, a physical incentive to actually visit the castle. I am engaging with discussions with Robben Island and the cableway, the CEOs, to see how do we pass on visitors, between us. So, and then the last question is the issue of of regional works and DOD. I'm not sure if Colonel Masula of the regional works Western Cape is here, but we have an excellent relationship. He sits on the board as an ex-official member, and he is a staff sergeant that's in, heading this team. Can knock on my door anytime. So the communication is absolutely open. So thank you so much, and I really appreciate the positive feedback. I'm the board chairperson is here, other staff members are here. It's all about teamwork and the unwavering support that this committee under your leadership, chairperson, is giving to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. You can see I'm rushing you because good news is no news at all. So thank you very much. Let me thank the board. The chair will convey our appreciation for the good work that you are doing. We must also thank the department for the support it gave you during the difficult times. It did not been because of the support that they gave you, the relief fund that they gave you. You wouldn't have survived the 2 years of COVID. Thank you very much for that. The DM, you are in the meeting. Your last words, sir.
Chairperson, maybe just before the DM, can right. I just make a suggestion? In the previous term, we had one or two portfolio committee meetings in the castle. So maybe that's an idea, especially if we want to go and see and they want to show us around. Maybe sometime, just note that maybe we can arrange a committee meeting at the castle in one of their conference rooms. So that worked well in the previous term. Thank you.
Okay, no, it's fine. It's appreciated. DM, welcome, and your last word before they depart.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, with respect to the Council Control Board's annual report and performance information, I think the observations and comments of the members of the committee are sufficient for me. What, of course, serves as a background to the performance of the council in the year under review is the downturn of visitors to the council as a result of the COVID pandemic, which according to their report was down by 250%. So with that low utilization by the castle, the performance, I think it's appreciated, because in our view that they were still able to over-collect as far as the revenue that they projected, the estimates of the revenue they projected to collect. I think it's commendable. But in the interest of time, Chair, I think the comments of the committee members are sufficient. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. General Mbuli and the team, once again, your work is appreciated. You are free to leave at any time when you wish to take leave. We can now move to the next item. Thanks. The next item is the DMV, briefing by the DMV. DMV is led by its Director General, Irene Polwani. He's going to take us through the two presentations, one after the other. because the second one speaks to the first one. Over to you.
Thank you very much to the Chair, and good morning, Chair. Good morning to the Minister in absence. Good morning to the Deputy Minister, and good morning to the members. Thank you for the opportunity. We will be taking the committee through our presentation. Mr. Siyambo is ready to fly this on the screen. Hopefully we can be able to move out any disruptions. Thank you, Chairperson.
I mean, you have been quiet for about 2 minutes now. What's the problem? DG.
Chairperson, I think he might have unmuted us.
Okay.
Chairperson, are the slides moving on your side?
Yes, they are moving.
Okay, this is just a summary in terms of financial performance of the department for the 2021-22 financial year, where the department was allocated 607 million rands, and the department spent 85% of that, which amounts to 515 million rands. There is about an under expenditure of 91 million rands, 92 million rands. I will also indicate in which areas that those amounts are coming from, in which areas of the department. If you look at the administration branch, I mean, if you look at the breakdown in terms of the different branches, most of the under expenditure comes from the socio-economic support branch. And again, you will see that when we talk to the performance information, this under expenditure is also linked to the performance of the branch itself, where some of its indicators have not been met. And then when we talk to the other two branches, which is administration and empowerment and stakeholder management, it's the under expenditure was 8% and 6% respectively. And then when we talk then just overall, a summary in terms of the audit findings. This is a summary where the department received an unqualified audit with findings. I will also share those some of those at the end of the presentation. Where in most cases, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, The department has really regressed in certain areas, and in some areas it has not improved from the previous audit cycle. So in areas where then there is grain, we have seen some improvement in terms of the level of assurance. There's still a lot to be done in terms of controls in the departments, just to improve the audit findings of the DG, because we still want to as a department to achieve the clean audit as a department. Then in terms of overall performance, the department had 19 targets and 9 were achieved, which amounts to about 47% overall achievement. And when you break that down to different branches, there were 5 in the administration branch, 4 were achieved. There were 8 in the program 2 socioeconomic support branch, 2 were achieved out of the 8. Then there were 6 in the empowerment and stakeholder management branch. 3 of those were achieved, which amounted to about 50% of the performance. And then what we have done also here, we have tried to report in terms of the specific then targets, and we have tried to link these targets to just how the department contributes to the overall government priorities, and also contributes to the to the minister's priority. So 3,711 bursaries were provided to military veterans and their dependents, and 2,920 of those were from basic education and 791 tertiary education. 2,442 military veterans were approved for training and skills development, and 555 military veterans were also authorized in the year under review for access to healthcare. And that brings now the total number of military veterans who are authorized to access healthcare at any given point in time to 19,100. And 488 were then approved or received counseling. And then this is a breakdown in terms of housing, where 71 houses, newly built houses, and in these provinces, in 5 provinces were built in the year under review, and most of those were built in Gauteng. And then compensation, 120 military veterans received compensation during the year under review. Then, of course, with pension, we had committed that we are going to get the policy pension benefit policy approved. It was only endorsed, around April this year, this financial year, through the presidential tasking process. And now we were then, Treasury recommended then that we develop regulations before we actually pay or implement the policy. So we are in that process now, where we are busy with that. And we have assisted 467 military veterans families with burial support. And then in terms of the HR environment, the department has 169 posts in the approved establishment, the one that was approved in 2010. And over and above that, we have about 48 additional contract workers, in the establishment. And the vacancy rate currently in the department, or as at end of March, or end of the year, financial year under review, was 24%, which is end of March 2022. And what we have done in terms of improvement here, as much as we have advertised most of the positions, especially the senior management positions and some middle management positions, we have advertised them in other cases, shortlisted them, and those that require the intervention of the executive authority, we have sent the files through to the executive authority for the process to be completed. We have improved in terms of the reducing the number of contract workers. I think in the other previous financial year, 2020-21, we had about 70 contract workers, and that number has now gone down to about 48 posts. And we continue to target, you know, especially the lower level positions where we advertise them internally so that we are able then to absorb, you know, the contract workers. And then I think this is just the stats in terms of the different areas. You begin to see that administration has most staff members. The anomaly in the department is that where most benefits are in program two, which is socioeconomic support, we have very few officials in that environment. I think which perhaps might even contribute to the fact that this particular branch is struggling to deliver on what is expected. And these are just, you know, posts or vacancy rates in at different levels, where you begin to see that vacancy rate is higher at a lower level, followed by a senior or middle to senior management level. And most of the contract workers are sitting at an administrative kind of the administrative office workers. And then this is just, again, at an SMS level. Currently, we have six vacant posts. That is the two DDGs I spoke to, the two chief directors, and also two directors, which amounts to six vacant posts. And all those posts have been advertised, as I indicated. The files have been consolidated and sent to the ministry for further processing. Perhaps I think it's important, Chair, that we just share in terms of the high level. I'll not take long here. It's just some of the issues that have been raised by AG. These are the, you know, issues. Some of these issues have been resolved during the audit process. Most of these the greens are areas where we have implemented the issues that were raised by AG. There were about 100 issues that were raised by AG, and we have implemented 54, and 46 of those are still in progress. The managers responsible for these areas have been tasked then to put up an audit action plan, which we are monitoring as a department. I think it's also part of the document that we share in terms of the issues and what the responses from the managers. I must indicate also, Chairperson, that what also the department has improved on in terms of in 2020-21 financial year, the department had about 119 million rands of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And we did not, in this financial year, incur any new fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And we have also managed to reduce irregular expenditure from 2020-21 into the year under review. In 2021, it was about 5 million, and we've managed to reduce that to 19,000 for the year under review. So we are continuing to put controls in place to improve, So that's the summary of the annual report, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shango. Did you any addition before I open the platform for discussion?
Uh,
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think my colleague has indicated the areas that we needed to put more emphasis as a department on. I think he mentioned, and I think the Chairperson also added on to the issues of the vacant positions on the strategic areas. For an example, our first component has got a challenge there. We have a chief director that has been advertised. The adverts and all the documents are sitting with the office, of course, of the deputy minister, since the adverts were compiled and all the documents and the applicants were sent through. We have not received any response up until to date. The legal, I think, is another crucial area that we are challenged with. The deputy director, we finalized all the processes and they were submitted to the office of the deputy minister on the 22nd of September. The legal director was also submitted to that same office on the 19th of August 2022. And we do understand that the area of the director and the deputy director is the area that is always dealt with by the DG, but we felt that we need to reach out to inform the ministry about what we have done, but the applications are still sitting with them to date. The DDG socio-economic is also sitting in that office from the 14th of June 2022. It was not found at some stage and we resubmitted on the 3rd of August 2022. And I think there was a challenge that those boxes were not found again. And we resubmitted two DDG positions in September, the last day of September. So we are hopeful that the ministry is going to be able to attend to all those positions. They are critical. The chief director says socio-economic support and the DDG are most crucial for us to be able to deliver on the benefits, as we are tasked to deal with the pension benefit, which is also a challenge to date. The submissions were also sent through to the ministry for their indulgence so that they can be able to invite us to present. That submission left our offices on the 11th of July, and the policy was, of course, approved by the Deputy President on the 26th of April, and we have received a letter of concurrence from Treasury in terms of developing the regulations, and we have already done that. We just awaiting the audience from the ministry. We would like to ensure that those documents that we have sent to the ministry in relation to the positions are brought back to us the latest, at least if we can, before the end of October, so that we can prepare the next processes that are going towards interviewing the candidates, and the latest that we can be able to appoint those candidates and fill in those positions in the departments in terms of warm bodies. Due to the processes that are taking too slow, we wanted to make sure that before we close, those processes are concluded. With regards, I think, in addition to the issue of audit, the audit committee, again, the documents have been sent to the office of the deputy minister to ensure that they assist us, and we have concurrence, as the act is very clear that the appointment of the audit external audit committee must be dealt with by the director general and in concurrence with the ministry. We have sent the documents and the pile of applications are sitting in the office of the deputy minister, and we have not received, and we are going to have a challenge while we're doing our turnaround strategy for the audit. Lastly, Chairperson, to add on some of the needs in terms of the audit outcomes. The audit outcomes indeed are done by the auditors in the manner that is subjected to their audit rules and regulations. The department indeed has received an unqualified audit opinion, and all audit exercises were done within the department with the managers. And the area that was audited was CES, the socio-economic support branch. And to date, Chairperson, I think it's also important that we share that we received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. One of our findings, which was a matter of emphasis, was the Zeal matter, which to date the judgment has been heard and the resolution was set aside in the last Friday. and we, as a department, were quite relieved that has happened. I thank you, Chairperson.
Just give us a brief background on the Zeal thing that and that landed that ended up in court with the judgment setting aside the contract. What was it about, and what are the implications of that going forward?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The matter of Zeal is a case of a tender that happened around 2015. It is an 8 years old case whereby the department was trying to procure medical services for the military veterans through involving a certain company. And apparently during that time, the process did not go well, the tendering process. And the department, according to what is written in the Public Service Commission report, was asked to withdraw the tender. And it is mentioned there that the executive and the deputy minister was involved in asking the department to withdraw the tender. And in that debacle, there were challenges, and the company requested to be paid, and the department could not pay the company. And basically, the company took the department to court. And the matter has been sitting in court for plus minus 7 years to date, and the department has been working with the legal people from the Office of the Ministry of Defense and Military Veterans to assist us, as we had the challenge of not having a legal person at the time. To date, the legal advisor at the Office of the Minister sent through all the documentation and went to defend the matter in court. Just in brief, and we can be able to afford the committee with the judgment that was released, as we were also waiting for the formal judgment to submit it to the ministry. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. And then once again, before I let the other colleagues pose their questions, last time there was an issue with one level 14, that an SMS member, who had not signed the performance contract. I'm not too sure if you had signed the performance contract at the time. What is the situation like now, since we have started this new financial year? Have all the SMS members, including yourself, signed their performance contracts?
Thank you, Chairperson. Official that was said not to have signed the performance contract is currently on suspension, Chairperson, and currently the SMS members that we are having in the department have signed their performance agreements to date, Chairperson.
That includes yourself, performance contract with the minister. Is that correct?
Yes, Chairperson, I've also signed the performance contract with the Minister, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, let me just look at the hands. There is Shelembe Pasopu and, Mr. Shelembe, Dr. Pasopu, and Mr. Mukhe, in that order, please. Over to your colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
See, I'm sorry, I will start with you. Unless your audio may interfere with your video, may interfere with your system, with the network, I would encourage members to set their, and even the officials of the department to set their videos on, unless you have a reason to switch it off.
Chairperson, you can see me, but I don't want to be disturbed by the network. I don't know. You can see it's Maria Keshele, and I think, Chairperson, you are happy now. I'm sorry that I can't, keep it on because of, to avoid, I'm using my credit here. I'm sorry, Chairperson, but at least you see.
Point taken, Shele, but you are on the mountains, I can see.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the presentation. Chairperson, I'll first, to the main issue where we get a number of complaints from the military veterans. Is the issue of, the National Military Veterans Database. I've seen in the report that it appears that, 1,436 applicants were physically interviewed by the panel, and 637 did not appear to the panel. To know if the department has tried to find out what are the reasons for them not to appear before the panel. And two, if there were any attempts made by the department to find out as to why they did not appear. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because I've raised this on a number of occasions, that there is a poor communication between department and the military veterans is very, very poor. But in terms of the law, it is a must that the department must ensure that each and every member that makes an application to the department is conducted, is either registered a post or deliver, to the physical address that was given in the application. I would appreciate that because I can see some, they failed, though I don't have the reasons why, they failed, why they were not taken. But I'm concerned about the 637 that did not appear. What are the reasons? Is it because there was a poor communication, they can't get them, or they just, that's the first question, Chairperson. Another thing, Chairperson, well, I can see that even the department is agreeing on the issue of, the challenge in the socio-economic services. As you can see now, even the performance is low by, say, 71 million. There's a difference. The continued, underperformance on the delivery of houses to the military veterans, is very, very worrying, as some of these military veterans are already at an advanced age, where, they are getting old, but, they are not getting the assistance. So these delays, Chairperson, I can tell you, is making the life of military veterans very difficult and complicated. When can we expect, the better performance, in that area, especially as I'm saying now, I understand other issues where they need to finalize the issue of the policy, this and that. But looking to the issue of the houses, and what is that the department will be doing differently now to address those challenges? The third one, Chairperson, is the issue of the internal audit committee. Well, I think the director, I think, has touched on that. But Chairperson, I would like, to know what are the main reasons for these members of the committee to resign? Because I can say now, well, it's clear that two entities are dysfunctional. But what are the reasons for such resignation for these committees? Is it because of greener pastures or something else? And Chairperson, if there has been a complaint about the challenges in the advisory council and appeals board with the department about the sufficient funds or opportunities to meet with the department. I'm checking, Chairperson, that how often does the Department of Military Veterans meet with these entities, and when was the last meeting with these entities? I think maybe, Chairperson, the last one would be the issue of the public transport. Chair, it's something that is worrying that, military veterans, well, are not getting any income, and it's costing a lot for them to go, to these provincial offices. And I can see now that, there is a lack of progress on this benefit. Chairperson, let me find out, because I'm not clear, that what are the targets and timelines to address, I mean, these challenges, Chairperson. Chairperson, for now, let me stop here and hear from the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Shalem, Dr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the officials of the department, and everybody on the platform. Firstly, let me appreciate the report that has been presented to us by the department, and also appreciate the fact that they have obtained an unqualified kind of outcome from the AG's office, which is nearer to the clean audit. But ultimately, what we are expecting is a clean audit within the department. But having said that, I think I've got only two questions, Chair. The first one, in terms of the plans of the department, the department for the year 2021-22 planned for 19 performance targets. For those plans, only 9 that were achieved, which is translated to 47%, far less from 50%. Perhaps, what are the reasons for that? Can the department explain to us? And then secondly, what are the financial implications? Because my view, Chair, here and members, is that when you plan for your department, obviously your plan is linked to finances or to a budget. Now that you have underperformed, obviously your budget is affected. Perhaps at some point one can say there is an understanding within this department, which is like financial misconduct in as far as the PFM is concerned. What are the financial implications? Then the last point on the same issue, what are the plans within the department to improve on that? Because for me, this is the situation which is not acceptable, and obviously the department should be worried about that. But of course, what are the plans to improve the situation? Then the last question, sir. Perhaps the honorable member before me has touched on this. There are lots of complaints, especially on beneficiaries, I mean benefits of the military veterans. Notable issue of education. The military veterans are complaining that the department is not paying for this benefit. What are the problems within the department? What are the causes of that? But when we go out, we are able, even ourselves, to answer those things that have been raised by our community. Thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Dela. I must add that I don't remember a year when the department was able to spend all the money allocated to it, at least since I joined Parliament in 1999 and became the chairman of this portfolio committee. The department has been underspending, particularly against Program 2. Program 2 is, you know, holds is where most benefits. Program 2 is where most benefits that are intended to support the military veterans sit. The department has been underspending, despite the fact that the military veterans are looking at this department for support, to support the education, their education and the education of their dependents, to support them with the healthcare service, and to support them with, you know, housing. But for some reason, despite the need out there, it is the department still fails to spend all the budget allocated to it. So it is a crime. We are dealing with military veterans, majority of whom are living in conditions that require an urgent attention. Some of them don't have houses. Some of them, require, are in need of, healthcare. Because their health conditions, their health condition is deteriorating. They are dependent on this department to educate their children, and so that's the problem. And for all these years, I've just referred to since 1994 when I became the chair of the committee. Treasury has been cutting this budget. At some point, 2 million, at some point, 200 million, at some point, 100 million rand. And despite the budget cuts, the department has been failing to spend all the allocated, the remaining allocated funds. That's the history of the department. It's 600 million rand now, reduced as it is. They're still failing to spend. I mean, they underspend by 15% more than 50% of 15% of the budget. So it is a serious situation, and that requires urgent attention by the minister. But we've raised this point many times, and to no avail. We have senior officials who remain on suspension. The last time I looked at the report, the APP, the report, the 21-22 annual report, is that last year there were no disciplinary hearings conducted. It means that despite having these people staying at home for close to 170 days, four officials, senior managers, more than 160 days, close to 170 days staying at home. They have not been brought before any disciplinary hearing. One wonders whether the charges have in fact been preferred against them, so that at least we know that their matter is receiving attention, because we are spending money on the people who remain on suspension, and we are paying people who are acting in those positions. And the positions for those people who are acting in senior positions remain vacant. So it means that the department is limping and will continue to limp until such time this particular problem has been addressed. So, and I don't see any other hand at the moment.
My hand was up, Chair. Just thought I removed it after you recognized me.
Oh yes, I thought I was mistaken. I mistook. I know that the deputy minister's hand was up. For some reason, I thought I mistook it for the deputy minister's hand. So, over to you. I will then take the deputy minister after they've responded to all these questions.
Thank you, Chair, but I will switch the video for connectivity issues. Thanks, Chair. I've got a few questions. One is on the four suspended members, which I think that suspension is at the cost, is at the cost of 3.7 million. I just want to find out from the DG, how far are they in terms of addressing this matter? Because we are worried that their inability to conclude this matter seeks to suggest that they prematurely suspended these four members, and they continue to pay them without concluding the matter. If they can explain to us as to how far are they in terms of that process. When are they intending to conclude it? My second question is on the 29 grievances registered and only 8 resolved, which means 21 are unresolved. What is the problem with that? What is the challenge that they are encountering for them to resolve, in fact, all the grievances timeously or speedily so? I think quite a number of times, Chair, we have been engaging with the department on their organizational structure. Can they just share with us in terms of that, how far are they? Have they aligned their structure to current realities faced by the department so that they are able to streamline the benefits for the purpose of ensuring effective and efficient service delivery to military veterans? Because the presentation says a lot about the structure. It says a lot about the inability of the department to deliver essential services or those services to military veterans. In fact, the important programs that they've registered the underspending on education, on health, on essential benefits. I'm just being general, not being specific. And there is an overspending on one program, but I'll get to it now, Chair. They must be able to explain to us why are they overspending on that program. Because we passed the budget, Chair. I'm not sure if the environment, what is the process that the department undertake. One would think that ordinarily in a setup of a council, the administration will notify the council, even though they will be engaging with the provincial treasurer. I'm not sure. Maybe they can explain to us what is the process, what process have they undertaken in this regard to temper with the budgets that we have passed as Parliament without informing us in terms of the environment or the overspending, because it suggests that they took some money somewhere to actually ensure that they supplement that program. But how did they follow the process is what is important. There are investigations taking place in the department by the Hawks and the SIU on some of the procurement contracts. Can they enlighten us, what are those investigations all about? How far are they in terms of those investigations? I think I will try to wrap up so that I don't take too much time, but I think I've covered quite a number of issues. The suspensions, the report on those investigations. I think, Chair, I'll stop there. If there's a need for me to come up with a follow-up question, I'll do so.
Thank you very much. All right. DG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the members for the indulgence and the questions. Chairperson, I would love to start on the matter of understanding, because as an administrator sitting here, I am foreseeing it coming.
Apparently there is a presentation that you were meant to make on how you intend to live with under expenditure and performance. I can't.
Chairperson,
make that presentation. Come again.
We did incorporate some of the in the previous presentation that was done by the colleague Chairperson.
Oh, so that was covered, eh? Okay,
yes.
You may as well deal with all the issues then.
Thank you. Chairperson, I do foresee an understanding, Chairperson, if we're looking at the picture of the pension and where we are today, where the documents and all the things are stuck in the office of the Deputy Minister, and we have budgeted for the pension and we're intending to pay the pension in this financial year. If we're unable to unlock the processes that we are currently sitting with, we might foresee an understanding and we might foresee a situation whereby the military veterans might not be paid in this financial year. And it is a very worrisome situation that we are faced with. And even if we can be faced with commissions and Zondo commissions, we will not be able to answer, Chairperson. We need to be assisted, Chairperson, that we quickly unlock the matter of the pension and the regulations parallel to the processes that we are doing. We are also meeting with Treasury and the work streams where, in order to find out where are the blockages, maybe from the administrative side. To date, from the administrative side, the regulation that was requested in the letter of the 2nd of June that was written by Minister Kodongwana to our minister saying to us we must develop the regulations. The regulations have been done, they've been packaged, and they've been, of course, the first point of call, they've been sitting within the office of the Deputy Minister. I think it's important for me to say we are worried about that. Failure for us to pay will come again result in the underspending. This is the kind of a situation that the department is sitting with. But going to look at the history is really clear that the department budgeted for benefits that were not even at that time going to a process of the policy making. And that made the department then to understand because those budgets were already there. With this picture, I just want to share with the Chairperson, the members of the committee to say, an understanding is looming if we are unable to unlock the blockage of paying the pension. I said, let me touch on it. Again, Chairperson, the area of understanding is in the area of benefits, which we are trying to beef up with ensuring that we have the necessary capacity in terms of warm bodies and crucial appointments we are waiting to finalize to ensure that there's one body to do the work. It's one issue to have the budget, but we don't have the persons to be able to assist us in following up on the programs and ensuring that the work is delivered in that particular branch. And the worrying branch, again, is the socio-economic branch where most of our benefits are sitting. I think the chairperson also made mention, I don't want to say that the issue of education, the education is one of our benefits that are very also crucial to the military veterans, because the department mandate is to make sure that we deliver benefits to the military veterans. With regards to the payment there, Chairperson, I'm just clubbing the issue of underspending. We have, as a department, done a presentation to look at the balanced thresholds of the monies that are paid to the learners. And we did present around April to the Deputy Minister on the new policy, and we also had concurrence with Treasury on the amounts and the budget. We sent the submission to the ministry, and I think the Deputy Minister made a mistake to say that it's an export factor. We have not paid on the new threshold, and our time is running out. We have received all the necessary approvals that we requested from Treasury. We are just waiting for the ministry to give us a sense of concurrence on the new threshold. We are very worried that we are supposed to have paid the schools and the learners supposed to have been also given an opportunity to reapply now, but without that concurrence that is coming from the office of the ministry, we are unable to pay at the present moment. And there is no export factor that has been committed by the department, because we have done everything within the Treasury regulations to request the threshold, to ensure that the threshold is agreed by Treasury, and they make recommendations. We made all the necessary submissions. We are appealing to the office of the ministry to ensure that they give us that go ahead, and we can be able to pay the military veterans in the new threshold. And we are unable to ensure that those military veterans that are owing fees at the present moment are paid unless we get that concurrence. I'm also going to allow my colleagues to touch, but also let me touch on the issue of the database and the reason for few people that have been not been attended to. Chairperson, we picked up over the period of time that the addresses and cell numbers of our military veterans has changed. The component has put up a process of ensuring that through our provinces they are able to get the military veterans and check their addresses and be able to ensure that the new cell phones numbers are being obtained and they can be put through the process. This process of changing of cell numbers, in some instances, it also affects the payments, because some bank details are also changed. But the department is going to continue through the assistance of this branch to ensure that through our provinces, the staff goes to the areas and get in touch with the military veterans and update their information. The underperformance on the delivery of houses, Chairperson and the members, the policy that we are currently using that is subjecting us to be supported by the Department of Human Settlement, it is a challenge indeed. We have raised it. We are looking at other areas that can assist us in terms of partnerships. What can we be able to do to fast-track the delivery of houses? We are also hearing that in Gauteng, they are changing a model in terms of service delivery on the houses benefit. We will be following up on that model and see how we can be able to assist the department. We are also asking Treasury two other units that they have. They have a unit called GTEC, which has got technical assistance, to see how can we improve the policy that we are having, as it was requested by the minister in our last meeting, to review the policies that are blocking service delivery. So we are currently trying to look into that as well. Chairperson, on the internal audit, I think the chairperson, the member was talking maybe to the external audit that we had to resign. The external audit committees that we had, we were left with two members last year, where we requested that they should be extended, and they were not extended. The Deputy Minister did not give us the permission to extend. We were working towards a situation to say Let us permit them to stay with us until we get the new members on board. But we were not given that permission. The Office of the Deputy Minister declined that request, and we had to start afresh. And that's where we are with the documents that we advertised and started afresh, and they are still sitting with the Office of the Deputy Minister to date. I think my colleagues can come into the situation of the... let me go into the issue of the suspended officials, as much I cannot be able to say much there because the process is in progress. I just want to clarify the matter to say, Chairperson, the suspended officials, it was due to the irregular expenditure that was mentioned by my colleague that dated for some time. It was not a process that was just taken overnight, Chairperson. We were advised by a lot of institutions in terms of consequence management on the 119 million irregular, which did not reach the hands of the military veterans, and the 5 million fruitless expenditure. And that was the matter that was on the cards in terms of the suspended officials. I wouldn't like to go further, but also to say that in this new financial year, the department, in this year under review, the department has tried by all means to avoid irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure. And to date, the department has not recorded any new irregular expenditure. The fruitless expenditure, as my colleague has set it out, is a 19,000 rand that has been registered via the AG report. I will hand over to my colleagues to get into the nitty-gritties of the where we have to explain in terms of the education benefits and the other questions that the members have requested some information from. Is Mr. Makonza on the organogram in the meeting? I don't seem to hear whether they're in the meeting or not.
I will take the issue of the organogram, DJ. What we have done, Chairperson and members, is that we have been working with, we were guided by the executive authority to say we must appoint an external person to assist the department to develop an organogram for the department, because we couldn't do it for years internally in the department because of capacity issues. So we got some experts, which were also assisted by GTEC. They've given us a report at the end of August on the macro-organizational structure, of which that report was discussed at the management meeting of the department last month for concurrence and agreement. Now the next step for us is to actually deal with the issue of the micro-organizational structure. But before we do that, we wanted to first present that report to the executive authority so that then we get further guidance in terms of what were the outcomes of that. So that work is progressing quite well. Parallel to that process, as I indicated, we are working now on the micro issues in terms of the post provision in terms of post and all those kinds of things. And what they've also done, Chairperson, to take, they've also done a preliminary costing in terms of what the new structure would be, because they've worked out in terms of what it could cost for us to amend the structure. So those are the kind of things that we need to discuss with the ministry before then we will move forward to the micro issues then in terms of posts and job evaluation, all those kind of things. So that work is going very well, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chairperson, there was a question that was asked to us, when did we meet with our advisory council? It was this month, 11th of October. We meet every month with our advisory council. The appeals board has not been appointed to date. Chairperson, there's other questions. I think colleagues can come in.
Any reason you have not appointed the appeals board?
Chairperson, I will ask Mr. Siango on the details, but we did at the time. Mr. Siango, do you have the details of where the application?
Chairperson, we are still waiting for the guidance from the ministry because the posts were advertised. And then the CVs were then delivered to the ministry for further, you know, guidance and appointments. So we are waiting for a feedback then from.
So when was that? When were the CVs delivered in the office of the minister of the ministry in the ministry?
It was in August, Chairperson.
Okay. You may continue.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The other part that was brought forward to us for the department to explain was the implications of the understanding, the financial implications of the understanding. I think when I was trying to provide some input on the chairperson's questions, it also included a little bit of the financial implications. Indeed, chairperson, the member is quite correct. Understanding is a crucial challenge. If we are not able to fast track all the submissions that we have sent through and be able to implement on the matters that we have budgeted for, it has a huge significance on understanding. I've given currently an example of the pension, that if we are unable to pay the pension in this financial year due to the blockages that we're trying to unlock and seeking some assistance, we might also face a understanding. So basically, Chairperson, understanding is actually caused by the matters that have been budgeted for and are in the APP and then yet are not implemented. I've just given a classic example of the pension that we are trying hard to ensure that this financial year that pension is paid to the military veterans with immediate effect. We can move to the, there was a question talking to, I think, the suspension and the disciplinary hearings in detail. I think Mr. Michael can give an overview to say on which dates did the cases sit, because I don't have the details with me now, but I do know that the cases are in progress, Chairperson. Mr. Michael, are you in the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm in the meeting.
No, it's due to that. You have to talk to the Chairperson and the members and give the details, not of the case and the charges and everything else. Just respond to the question of the sittings and how often, if there's challenges that are making us not to finalize the cases, you can be able to raise. And just be mindful that you cannot talk about the issues of the names and the contents of the cases, because the cases are still in progress. Thank you, Mr. Matley, for joining us.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, the cases of the four senior managers are currently ongoing. There is one that is taking place tomorrow and Friday. It's scheduled for tomorrow and Friday. And the other one is scheduled for the 10th of November. And the other two set last month, and they will be sitting again before the end of the year, that is in the beginning of December. the challenges that I can say we are facing, which leads to most postponement or not the case being completed or finalized on time, was one of them was the issue of, despite the availability of witnesses, was the issue of the account. The department had some challenges with the account because most of the presiding officers and the initiators are coming outside of the provinces. However, that problem we have discussed with the DG on how to mitigate it, and it's currently being pushed. So we are making sure that the cases are sitting on a monthly basis so that they can be finalized before the end of the financial year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. There was a question about investigations in the department and what are they...
Chair?
Yes, Mr. Motley?
Chair, I'm not happy about the response because whoever was responding now says they had challenges with account. What is he talking about? Accounts. Bank accounts, electricity accounts, closing accounts. What are they talking about?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll come in. The department have we have a traveling agency that is providing services to the DMV to travel and do the work of the department. We had a challenge. Our account was behind, and we had to sit down and consolidate and ensure that we put it up to date so that we can continue with the work. That is the challenge that my colleague is raising. And we have done that, and work is back in progress. Chairperson, there was another question of investigations in the department, and what are they all about? To date, I am not quite aware, unless I'm missing the chairperson's question. The only thing that was a surprise to the department is that when we were doing an audit, there was members of the Hawks in the department overseeing and taking documents and took four of our laptops, including mine. We were not clear what is going on and who has sent the Hawks to the department, but we've referred the matter to the minister because it was sounding very intimidating for us during the time of the audit, whereby they were taking the documents that we are trying to use to give the information to AG, and also they needed the same documents, and we tried our best to ensure that copies are made so that they can get what they were looking for, which we had no knowledge because they never gave me any letter. So I am not aware. That is a scenario that was quite strange for us. It was also quite strange for AG. It's something that has never happened in the country. No department has been followed by Hawks during audit time. And that matter, we raised it with the minister, and the minister is trying to find out what was going on. So I have no knowledge of the investigation except the kind of a scenario that was very strange for all of us and for myself as well, because my laptop was taken away, the acting CFO's laptop was taken away, my PA's laptop was taken away, and the laptop of the manager, which is sitting with the skills development. What criteria they used to take our laptops, we're really not sure at the moment. So I have not received the a report from the minister who is currently handling this matter. We raised it with her, and of course the AG people were also subjected to that kind of a trauma, and we are not sure. So I'm not sure about the investigation. That's the only thing that I can share that happened to us. Chairperson, I think we have made an attempt to respond to the questions.
Yes. I only have just two last issues for you, DG. On page 144 of the annual report, you mention contingent assets to the value of, I'll tell you now, and you also mention contingent liabilities on page 161 to the value of the contingent liability to the value of 208 million rand. I understand that the 198 million rand, that was in relation to the Zeal case, is part of that. And now with that matter behind you, it will reduce the 208 million rand by 198 million rand. Is my understanding correct? That the what was recorded as a contingent liability of 208 million rand is inclusive of 180 million rand that was in relation to the Zeal Health contract. That now that this contract has been set aside, so it will reduce the contingent liability by that much, by 191 million rand. And then on the assets, I said it's on page 144 of the document. 144, sorry. It's to the value of 1.9 million rand. If you can just unpack those two contingent liability stroke assets, what it means in relation to financial implications, the financial implications of the department. Tabo, is your hand still up?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Mara, is your hand still up?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, Mr. Malia Kishelembe, is your hand still up?
Yes, Chair, still fine.
Okay, no, it's fine. I'll start with you, Mr. Mutle, to Mr. Mare, and to Mr. Shelem, in that order, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't think the DG and the team have responded to the 30 million overspending on skill development. They have not responded to that. I would like them to talk to that. What is this overspending on all about? Because they have not budgeted. They have budgeted for 50 million. They have spent 80 million. What necessitated that and the processes that they have undertaken? Secondly, on the, I forgot that one, it's a new question, Chair. The 19 military veterans that they have, I'm not sure, they've registered them with the Department of Labor. How far are they? What are the results of that process? Have they registered some progress? Have those military veterans been employed? Or what is the situation with regard to that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mutle. Mr. Mare?
Thank you, Chair. Much appreciated. The DG, I just want to ask one question, and maybe to a certain extent you have addressed that, but not specifically. Whenever I look at annual reports and performance of reports, I always ask myself, how does it relate to the lowest level where the services actually matters all the time. And that's why we are here for military veterans. In a number of cases where people have made inquiries why certain applications and cases are taking so very long to finalize, the response is more than often that they do not have enough people, they do not have enough resources, and that's why it's taking so long. So while this is happening, military veterans and their families and their dependents are suffering financially, you know, whether it is the pensions, whether it is medical, whether it is school or education. When will you finalize all those vacancies, especially those critical vacancies that we can deliver the services as intended to in the Act to those military veterans? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shalembe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I can't repeat that one. The issue of the 19 military veterans, Thabo Motle, I mean, has touched on it. Chairperson, I'm checking. The DG that the issue of the military veterans that did not pitch up, it may be because of the change of cell phones or change of address, etc. I'm just checking if it is possible that, these notices when inviting, the military veterans, whether municipalities are engaged, because in terms of the intergovernmental relationship, I think, they can, work with the municipalities when they are issuing notices of such like. Say maybe the municipalities may ask the ward councillors, or they can put this maybe on their notices to say, these people must report, we need them, but they can't find them through their cell phones or whatsoever. I think I'm talking about an attempt, because the local government is as close as sphere to the people on the ground. If maybe they can use, opportunity of engaging the local municipalities to ensure that this thing is cascaded to the ward councillors. I think, the ward councillors can afford, there are sort of war rooms in each and every ward where councillor meets, with different stakeholders. I'm suggesting that, such notices are very, very important, because it's about the benefits to the people who fought for this country. And then the last one, Chairperson, I'm checking the DG cannot answer now, that how many applications that have been received by the department and how old they are, the department where they did not reply within 30 days as required by the legislation. So if maybe you can know how many applications are there, and at the same time that they did not, reply to. I don't know whether she may be able, to answer that now. It might be difficult because something is not in here. But I would appreciate maybe if she can prepare for that in the next meeting to know that how many applications that are received by the department and are not replied to within 30 days as required by the legislation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. So thank you very much. And that concludes the questions on the side of the members. I now hand over DG to respond, after which I will then take the comments of the Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the members once more. Let me start by appreciating the input and the advice in terms of how we can be able to reach the military veterans faster who have not updated their information to the municipalities. We are going to be able to look at that model, and we'll ensure that we are able to utilize it so that we can reach our people who are destitute out there. Chairperson, on the matter of course, we would like to submit a written answer on the matter to our ministry, of course, on the matter that has been raised in terms of the number of applications that were not that reached the department and are not responded to in 30 days. Chairperson, also the blockage there in terms of the applications, we're still trying very hard to ensure that we install and work on our IDMS project, which has got a lot of legs in it. Amongst other legs is, of course, the training of the staff internally, the military veterans, empowering them to ensure that they are able to update their information on the tablets and provide it to the department with speed. CETA is an institution that is tasked to support departments in terms of ICT. Again, we do not want to step out of that process. We are working along with CETA. The challenge is that they are not giving us the service as fast as we would have loved. And I think if we are asked by this committee, what do we want to ensure that CETA focuses on our direction, we would need the support of the members that can be able to assist in ensuring that maybe at a political level, CETA is brought on board to assist DMV. We are one of the departments that needs to be assisted to be on board in terms of digital platforms, in terms of ensuring that the department is automated. If we were in a situation like a bank, indeed the message would have come via the cell phone with immediate effect because it is automated. And this is a project that we are working hard to ensure that no military veteran will be queuing in our departments again, no forms will be lost, and no information cannot be accessed within a minute. It's just that CETA, we met them just about 2 weeks back, trying to emphasize to them the urgency, especially loading the first module, which is on the database and verification section. We are appealing for help there to ensure that CETA can see our plight and our urgency for us to be also addressed in terms of automation program. I know it's quite a historical issue, it's dating back for some time, but we are trying to ensure that DMV is automated once and for all. We are following departments like SASA and Home Affairs, who also went through the process. And that challenge then of 30 days can be conquered if we are able to get CETA to be quickly assisting us in terms of the departmental needs. Chairperson, the issue around the experiment and assets and the contingency assets that have been raised by the chair, let me ask our acting CFO to assist us in responding to those questions. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the Minister, to the Deputy Minister, as well as the rest of the members. In response to the question around violence,
is your video also
there are too many microphones on.
Thank you, Chairperson. In respect of violence, I'd like to...
Is there a reason why this video can't be set on?
Good day, Chairperson, once again. Good morning to the Minister, to the Deputy Minister, and good morning to the members. I'll be taking the question in respect of violence, and I wish to indicate that violence are mainly those movements of money that we do from one program to the other, meaning that we're taking money outside of one program. So in this event, as mentioned by the member,
we have exceeded the allocated budget. Therefore, there was an offset that we did through, of course, the involvement of the National Treasury. And I wish to confirm that even the environment, as mentioned by the member, it was done through consultation with the National Treasury, and if perhaps we can even share the revenue approval to that effect. But environments generally are done to just offset areas where we have done, I mean, where we have exceeded the budget, unlike shifting, which is happening between within the same program of the department and the vote. Thank you. Chairperson, our apologies. Indeed, the cameras do disturb our network. It's not so stable. Our apologies to that. I think Ms. Kasamba has attended to the issues of assets. I think on the last questions, that have been raised by the members, I think it was the issue of the matters that were raised via the annual report, and the military veterans municipalities, we have noted, and we are going to be able to work with this process that has been alluded to, work with municipalities. It also supports the process that has been started, the development of the protocol agreement. So we'll take the note of what the member has raised in relation to the protocol agreement that we were asked to develop. And lastly, I think it was the issue of 30 days that we said we'll provide the member maybe in the next meeting, or it will do it in a written form. I think, Chairperson, from the notes that I've taken, I think we have tried, Chairperson, if there's anything left, we can be able to...
You have not dealt with the contingent liabilities.
And my question is wrong.
Assets.
Chairperson, sorry, I've forgotten to provide feedback.
You also cannot set your video on. Is there a reason?
Sorry, Chairperson, my video is now on. In terms of contingent assets, those are mainly matters that arose in the past. As you can see, Chairperson, in terms of the annual report, we've been having most of those cases which are currently handled by the Office of the State Attorney in respect of some queries and matters that were referred to the State Attorney by the department. So it's areas where we anticipate that we'll be able to recover our monies back to the department. Hence, it is a contingent liability. I mean, hence it's a contingent asset. And then in terms of contingent liabilities, I think, Chairperson, you have mentioned that a part of that it relates to the Zill matter, which we have now, now has been resolved. So it will have an impact in terms of the quarter three interim financial statements and eventually to the annual financial statements for the 2022-23, as the matter was only resolved in October 2022. So that is basically the feedback that I would like to provide in respect of the two. In terms of, I'm not sure if you've asked Chairperson a question around just the normal minor major assets. We did not have any issues, material issues in terms of the of our minor or major assets, Chairperson. There were just issues of monthly recons, of which we're sort of interpreting the policy differently from what the auditors understood it to be, that we were indicating that upon the implementation of LOGIS, then we'll be able to do our monthly reconciliation on the system, not on the manual system. So that's just where the differences were. But in terms of the samples that were selected, in terms of the assets, we're able to trace and provide information and documentation in terms of all assets that were selected for audit. Thank you.
Just one remaining a question that has not been addressed. It's a question to comment from Mr. Mare. I'm not too sure if you still remember that.
On the vacancies, yeah, and the service delivery.
On the vacancies and service delivery.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, honorable members, there is a correlation between vacancies and service delivery. If we are not speedily trying to fill in the vacancies, it can affect service delivery. We've taken upon ourselves, Chairperson, to say all the vacant posts, as it was also instructed to us by the Ministry, must be filled at all levels, not only at senior levels, but also at lower levels. And we have been putting together adverts up to administrators to ensure that all levels that are having vacant positions, those positions should be advertised, following, of course, the DPSA processes and procedures for the post to be at level 12 and below to be advertised internally, and the other positions to be advertised externally. And of course, as I indicated in my presentation, we're still awaiting the number of positions that need to come back from the Ministry. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think we are done with the answers. DM, closing remarks on your department, the briefing by your department.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And to honorable members for the opportunity to come in on the discussion the Oversight Committee has just had now. I raised my hand earlier on. Chair, you are right that you noted the hand on your side. And the reason why I was raising my hand is because I wanted to make an intervention to say that before the committee discusses the report that has just been presented now, we should make comments as the ministry that would have the oversight discuss the report. Now that we have entertain the discussion, maybe it isn't of any value at this point now. But the reason why I was doing so, Chair and honorable members, is because this was really unprecedented what happened, because the reports that the department has shared here were unfortunately not assisting the oversight in giving accurate information about what is happening in the department. The office of the deputy minister last had contact with the department on the 17th of June. The last time my office had contact with the department is the 17th of June. Following which, at the beginning of July, on the 5th of July, I wrote to the DG expressing our displeasure with the way the office of the DG was assisting the ministry in taking responsibility for what was happening in the department, and also to direct the efforts of the department. And in that letter, we indicated that there were obviously unprofessional practices which we were unhappy with. That was in the beginning of July, and that correspondence to the DG was responded by the DG to by the DG, and the DG declared a dispute to which she submitted that she's actually notifying my office that she has approached the Office of the Public Protector to intervene in the adjudicating the dispute that she said exists, which disputed from our side. We were not aware of. But that, once the DG's office said the DG has approached the public protector on the basis of her complaint against the office of the deputy minister, we could not continue any interactions with the office of the DG. And the reason why it was the right thing to do, it is because the reasons on the grounds on which the DG was approaching the public protector were unfortunately inexactitudes, if I may put it that way, Chair. They were completely fabricated allegations. And at that point, it was clear that the level of lack of professionalism is not going to make interaction with the office of the DG to be any in any way productive. If that office could falsify information in the manner in which it was suggested as to what it is that she was approaching the public protector about. Now, in this meeting, members would have taken note that there was mention of the office of the DM this, the office of the DM that, this is in the office of the DM. When the office of the DM, formally in the ministry, and in discussion with the ministry, withdrew from any interaction with the office of the DG and the Department of Military Veterans. The DG is aware of that. And it was, in my view, improper for the department to say to the oversight committee, this and that other work that we are supposed to account for, it is in the office of the deputy minister. There is no such work in my office. There is no such work. Having said that, I want to conclude this point by saying this matter is being dealt with by the minister. We have received interventions, please, in the form of petitions from the management of the department, but also the PSA Exco. The issues are very serious. The matters are very serious managerial deviations. I think at the appropriate time, the minister will be able to share with the oversight committee how the ministry has dealt or her office has dealt with the interventions that we have received in the ministry from DMV managers and the PSA Exco. But they relate to the very same matters that the committee is being drawn the committee's attention is being drawn to. I want to just touch on a few issues which are important, and they were part of our discussion this morning, Chair and honorable members, if you may allow me. The first is to say that the Chief Director, Siengu, has not assisted the discussions this morning about where the department is, what are its challenges, and what are its achievements in a way that the interventions of the oversight can then take matters forward by providing whatever advice they consider appropriate. Because you see, he made a statement here that in the year under review, 2021-2022, there is no fruitless expenditure nor irregular expenditure in the Department of Military Veterans. That statement is just factually incorrect. It's not true. It's misleading. And I am raising this because there are indeed material issues of fruitless expenditure and irregular expenditure, which actually led us to have a meeting, myself and the minister, last week with the Auditor General's office, precisely because we were not sure whether we have sight of the same information, what the department was audited on and what we know. There is that challenge, Honorable Chair, that at times institutions do not function optimally or professionally because the guardians are not assisting in the role they must play. Now the question, of course, will always arise, who must guard the guardians? That's why we went to the Auditor General's office and had a meeting with the Auditor General last week, in spite of the report of the Auditor General having been discussed in the committee, as we are aware, at the last meeting. We discussed their report, but we still felt that we need to engage the Auditor General so that we understand where they are coming from with some of the things that are in their report and those that are not in their report, to understand why are they not in their report. Good examples would be of disturbing fruitless expenditure, procurement of equipment, which is still not delivered to the department in this particular financial year, that caused the department in between 27 and 29 million rands. Equipment that was supposed to be put in the hands of military veterans, as it is alleged, for purposes of maintaining roads. There is no organization on the ground for military veterans to participate productively in that kind of opportunity. But there is also nothing in place for military veterans to be accorded the opportunity by way of municipalities that have ring-fenced or set aside budgets for military veterans, nor provincial road departments that have set aside departments for military veterans, or the national department, SANRA. There is no, we know of no such budgets. So that equipment was bought last year, is still sitting at Florida, and it's not with military veterans. An obvious fruitless expenditure. And it is unfortunate that a senior manager, a chief director, would say to the oversight committee, in this department, there's no fruitless expenditure. There is no irregular expenditure. And it is not, I'm just giving the oversight committee an example of things which are challenges we must overcome in the manner in which the department is executing its work. In relation to the appointment of candidates into senior management posts that are vacant at the moment. The adverts for those posts closed at the end of March, and we only got a memo from the department about the shortlisting of candidates for those jobs now. And when I'm saying now, I'm talking in the last 2 months when I saw a document that suggested that there is now shortlisted people who would be interviewed. And in our remarks with the minister to that document, we said this is actually an inordinate amount of time that has lapsed since the post closed in March. Why did we not proceed? Do we still show that all of the people who applied are still available to take up these jobs if they are appointed? But we're making the point to say the matter must be dealt with urgency. And those responses are there, should be there in the department. For the department to say the documents are with the ministry, I think it is mischief of the highest order. When we were stressed that this should have been done at the beginning, right at the beginning of the financial year, because those adverts were closed at the end of March, end of the last financial year. But what compounds our challenge with the Department of Military Veterans, honorable members, is because with those posts still remaining vacant for reasons that are just not satisfactory, the suspended senior management members within the Department of Military Veterans, the processes of taking them through departmental hearings are far from being concluded. They are far from being concluded because the charges finally put to them for what it is alleged to have been offenses on their part. Those charges were only finalized in December last year and January this year. But these suspensions were effected in August. And when they were effected, the accounting officer, the DG, said the decision will stick to the rules. These suspensions will be processed. The issues will be dealt with in the department within the 60 days rule that is in the book. But when 60 days elapsed, those suspended still did not have the charges that were being put to them. But as if that is not enough, even as I speak, unbelievably so, even as I speak, the ministry does not have a report on what exactly are the infringements that each of these officials is guilty of. We've pleaded it's more than a year. There is no report in the ministry to say this one individual, these are the issues, these are the violations in relation to this procurement on such and such a period, in such and such a period. These are the violations of the regulations, the administrative law that the individual is guilty of. If it's insubordination and clear indication, it's insubordination because what happened where, by who, against who, and all of that. That information is still not there in the ministry a year later. It is for that reason that in the ministry we were contemplating an intervention to bring this saga to an end as expeditiously, as a matter of agency, because the department is without managers as we speak. No serious managers to talk about. There are no DDGs there. Chief directors, I think it's two or three. Directors, the same. So the department has no senior management. And it should not, of course, surprise us that the performance of the department is as challenged as it is. I want to say, Chair, that There are decisions which are presented here and are not accurate because they are misleading the oversight committee in relation, for instance, to the increase of quantums on education and barriers. The memo submitted by the DG made it very clear that National Treasurer was of the view that the proposed increases were way above the department's projected baseline over the MTF period and that they should not be proceeded with. National Treasury was very clear. It provided information to the department to say, according to Treasury, goods and services, their budgeted increases will be 4% in 2022 and 2023 and 4.4% in 2023-2024 and 4.4% in 2024-2025. And the Treasury made it very clear that the department's proposed increase of 8% was way above the National Treasury projected headline consumer price index. And this is in the document that was submitted by the DG. And in that very same document, and it will be there in the DG's office, there are remarks that we made that the DG must come with management and present orally this suggestion in relation to what they were they're proposing we do with the quantums that are being used to pay out the education support and the children support. So it is not accurate what the department, the DG, has reported here. I will go further and say again another point that is also a misrepresentation and misleading of the of the oversight committee is that the DG says there's likely to be underspending. And there's going to be underspending. She's so certain about it as a result of not paying the military pension. I mean, that is just duping the oversight committee because members, honorable members would know that in the financial year that we are in, our budget of the Department of Military Veterans did not include pensions. We don't have it. But Treasury has decided to say, the department should proceed to pay these pensions because in their calculation and their study of the spending of the department, on an annual basis, there is plus minus 100 million rand that is not spent by the department. So to pay these pensions, because we are already in the 6 months remaining to the end of this financial year, should not be a problem for the department to do so. So if there's going to be underspending, that underspending cannot be blamed on not paying pensions. Because the budgets, when they were signed off and supported by Parliament and this committee, were meant for work that did not include pensions. Pensions actually are going to assist the department not to underspend. Not that pensions are going to cost the department are the reason why the department is going to underspend. In relation to firemen's, it is also just disappointing that we have the CFO of the department acting now, saying firemen's is movement of money between programs, which is true, but that's not the only truth. There is firemen's of money within programs themselves. Environment of money within programs in terms of what the procedure is, it's there in the book. But the environment of money in between programs, it is also there what the procedure is. And the procedure says the accounting officer must make a submission to the executive authority when money must be moved between programs so that the executive authority in approaching when the department approaches Treasury, the executive authority can actually argue the point that we want this money moved from this program to the other program for the following reasons. The minister must be in the loop.
But these violence that have been happening, they have not been happening with the ministry's knowledge. Matter of fact. So what I'm saying, honorable members, is that we have spent time this morning, unfortunately, being sent the wrong way by the Department of Military Veterans. But when the minister is back, the challenges of the department, including the matters that were being discussed this morning, will be returned to in that the ministry will come and make a presentation. The ministry will come and make a presentation to the oversight committee around the challenges of this department. Chair, with that said, I must thank you for indulging me. It was not my intention to go to the lengths I have done, but because I thought that the members of the committee were being abused, I should make that intervention. I submit, Chair, and thank you.
No, thank you very much, DM, for your concluding remarks. We just have to leave it to the executive to deal with the matters of the department. For us, we just look at the performance. We are worried that the performance is weak and is weak because of the challenges, some of which you have actually touched on. We wish that those challenges be addressed, and so that once again the people for which this department was established to assist are still waiting for assistance. Yes, there is, but it's not enough. The money is available, but the department is not spending the money. So we wish that the matter be handled with speed, so that we are then able to, as government now, intervene in the plight of the military veterans who are looking up at this department, or looking up to this department for assistance. Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, colleagues. So we can now then move quickly to the last but one item. It's the correspondence from the AG of South Africa. I circulated that correspondence to your colleagues. I don't know if you want to comment, or should accept it as we should just note it and leave it at that. Colleagues?
Chairperson, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Moran.
I obviously, one must read that letter in conjunction with our minutes of the 28th, when we had that interaction with the Auditor General. What we must obviously accept that letter, and I think the fact that they have written that letter is a confirmation, I think, of what we observed that day during the meeting, your comments that you have made, and the fact that, you know, the Auditor General is there for a specific purpose in terms of a specific legal framework, and if every unit, any entity, must, you know, do correctional steps or remedial actions in that regard. So we must read that in conjunction with our minutes, and obviously we must make sure that that we you know, comply with the Auditor General's request. And I've got no problem that we take note of that, and that we are trying. I know that we cannot refer to that in our minutes, but you know, it deals with the same day and the same report. So but yeah, we must accept that and obviously build that into our program, you know, to do oversight and to get feedback in terms of what the Auditor General requires from us.
All right. Any other comment? I thought I saw Barito Detri. It's the business executive in the AG's office on the platform. But are you still in the meeting?
Good day, Chairperson and members. Yes, Chair, I'm still in the meeting.
Have you seen the letter we are referring? It's the letter of the 17th of October. You have not?
No, Chairperson, I'm not aware of that letter.
It's addressed to us by Tamsanga Zigode, is head of portfolio regularity audit. What is his level within the entity?
Thank you, Chair. No, I do recall now the letter that you're referring to. It's basically a letter that we sent out after the BRRR process, whereby we seek to confirm that the committee is in agreement with the recommendations that we made on the 28th of September. So Mr. Tami Zigode is the head of portfolio, so he looks after different audit portfolios, including defense and military veterans. Chair.
In terms of communication, don't you think we need to correct as to who exactly must communicate with the portfolio? Is it fine that we receive the communication from him and not from his senior?
Okay, I didn't address that. He is a senior in the Auditor General. Mr. Fanfiren, who's the business executive, reports to Mr. Zigode. So he is quite senior in the organization.
Quite senior in the organization. And then two, you can see it's a new approach that you are adopting as the AG, where you make certain recommendations regarding the conduct of our own, the performance of our own responsibilities. It is fine in terms of the ecosystem that you have spelled out in the document. But in terms of accountability, are we not twisting the accountability lines? The AG is accountable to Parliament, and now you are making us to account to you. Because very soon, you would hold us to account on this. We are doing these things. All right, we are doing these things that you have actually mentioned, but with you putting it in black and white, you are slowly bringing us within your own, accountability lines. I don't know. You see, I looked at it and said, man, the AG, and next time the AG will ask us the question whether we have assessed the department's and public entities' strategic and annual performance plans as part of oversight to ensure that auditees plan and deliver in line with their respective mandates. We are appointed to do exactly that. But are we not running a risk where next time you think we should account to you on this? I don't know. It's the first thing, we've not discussed it. You see, it's happening for the first time. I mean, we have been around for the longest of time. What is this new approach? Yes.
Apologies, Chair. Okay, can I try to respond? It is not the first time that we've written such a letter to you as the chair of the committee. We do it every year after the BRR process. Perhaps we do need to engage on it if the committee is uncomfortable with the fact that we are confirming those recommendations in writing, as you put it. And Chair, it's not because we want the committee to report back to us or to account to us as the HSA. It's mainly in the spirit of the accountability ecosystem that we assist you as the committee then to focus on some of the matters that we are highlighting to you in relation to the portfolio. So Chair, it's done really in that spirit to say that you also have a role to play, but it's not because you want Parliament to account to us. We account to Parliament. So that's my response to you, Chair, and it's really not a new thing also.
You are basically reminding us of our responsibility. That is the point, to say, for as long as you perform these responsibilities, the performance of the department and service delivery to the public will be enhanced.
Yes, Chair. Okay, I can put it like that, but then we just highlight also specific areas or concerns for that particular portfolio. For instance, on the DOD portfolio, we have 5 material irregularities that need to be dealt with. So we just want to bring that to attention as well and to remind you also in your engagements to also hold the department accountable for those matters.
Just colleagues, just on this MI thing, we thought we have given you sufficient teeth to bite. That's the reason why we amended legislation, because if the department the accounting officer fails to apply on your audit query, and then there are steps you must take right up to a point where you, in terms of the law, you make the accounting officer directly accountable on the loss incurred. We thought that was, in our view, assisting you so that you will not have to come to us. You have to deal with this person, including getting the accounting officer to pay the money himself or herself, or report the accounting officer to the law enforcement agencies to act. Because yes, we can act, but there's a limit to which we can move. We can take the house, we can take the horse to the river, but we can't force the horse to drink the water. But we thought with this latest amendment, it's a whipping. You can then whip the horse and, to a point where you can literally force it to drink the water. If it doesn't drink the water, you have the powers entrusted at you suggest what you need to do with that. I just want to get clarity on that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may come in, Mr. Murray.
I think it is, very important questions that you're asking. I've also asked myself whether this letter, that I also cannot recall that we have received it in the past in that specific format. And I was wondering whether that's an indication to us that, listen, here are irregular and material irregular and wasteful expenditures that is occurring year after year, term after term. Whether they want us to act stronger, because I recall, and the Auditor General can respond, I recall where the Auditor General has said that they only make recommendations and they have got no enforcement powers and authority. So they can only report these things, and then obviously it seems like then we have to take it further, either in terms of holding executive or the accounting officer accountable on a regular basis, but also I'm not quite sure whether they then require Parliament, we as an extension of Parliament, to then take specific actions and steps in that regard on these officials or people or the departments that they are referring to. But it is serious. It is obviously a concern, and we have to take cognizance of that.
Yes. On the minute, material irregularity that Mr. Murray is speaking of. Now, you have raised it, and there's no action on it. And you have raised it many times. The minister is present in the meeting. And now, if you were to advise us, you've mentioned it in the letter, what more can we do?
Thank you. Chair, you're quite right that the amendments to the Public Audit Act gave us additional powers to deal with the accounting office authority where they are not using their powers in the PFMA to deal with irregularities. However, with the Department of Defence, the challenges that it encountered are unique to that environment. You will note that in our presentation, we mentioned that the accounting officer, which is the Secretary for Defence, is unable to take further action against military command because of the stipulations in the Defence Act. So that is why we are bringing those to your attention as Parliament, that there's this a hindrance in the Act that disempowers the accounting officer from acting in terms of the material irregularities. And also we highlighted the issue of the accountability framework of the Department of Defence, that those hindrances are just unique to that particular portfolio, and therefore we bring them to your attention that you also then assist in dealing with them, whether it's by calling the executive authority to indicate what she has done then in trying to resolve these issues that are causing then the backlog in terms of dealing with material irregularities, and also any other irregularities outside of them, the MIs that the executive authority can come in account on. So just in short, as Honourable Murray is saying, we are saying that we are emphasizing that the committee should ensure that there's accountability from the department and from the executive in as far as the issues that you are raising are concerned. And that is why we also decided to put it in writing just to remind you as a committee to say that these are the issues that we are most worried about in this particular portfolio. And this is what we are recommending to you as the committee to deal with as you are calling the department to account and during the sessions that you are having as the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Okay, no, it's fine. I'm raising this point because I think I don't know how many times we've discussed the issues of the issue of irregularities within the department, and the fact that the department is too slow when it comes to consequence management. We're talking about the Department of Defense in this case. The minister is aware, he has been on the platform when the matters were raised sharply with her, and her response is that she has instructed the chief of the defense force to act, and the last time she said she doesn't think that the SecDef has really exhausted everything within her power to get the chief of the defense force to act on the issue of irregular expenditure. And we have this situation. And now I can tell you, I got to a point where I felt we can't take it beyond this. And because we are raising it, but we are getting the same response. But the DM is in the meeting. I did share this letter with the DM, so that he is aware that we have received. I also shared it with the SecDef as well, so that he is aware that we have received this correspondence from this. Because they also exercise oversight over their own department, do you also write to them just to place these matters before them as well? I mean the ministers in particular.
Yes, Chair, that's correct. We have discussions with the minister, or in some cases we send a letter or even a briefing document just to highlight the issues that you are concerned about. As I'm speaking to you, Chair, we are busy preparing a status of records review, which then again highlights the gaps in the departments, both PMV and the DOD. And these will be discussed first with the accounting officer to indicate to them these are the concerning areas. And then we'll seek commitments from them as well to say, then what are you going to do to address these particular commitments? And after having those engagements with them, we then take it a step further and circulate these briefings to the minister and also ask for a meeting with the minister to discuss those particular concerns. And even in the meetings with the minister, we also try to source commitments from the executive to also ask them to say what are they going to do to try and then assist the accounting officer in closing the gaps that we are identifying during our review. So there is that continuous communication, Chairperson, between us and the accounting officers, and also we take it to the executive as well. Thank you.
Okay. DM, please, your comment on this being the last comment, unless the colleagues still want to say one or two words on it. I'm raising this out of frustration because we are raising these matters. And we're not getting anywhere. Now, the question is, what more must we do now? Because the matters, we raise them in public, this being a public platform. And there seem to be no movements on the part of the accounting officer. DM? Maybe the DM has stepped out of the meeting. All right.
Chairperson, if I may add just one small thing. And I obviously share all your concerns, and this is absolutely undesired situation. However, I think, as you have said, there's been so many times that these things have been raised every single year, and the responses from the departments, both military veterans and DOD, are so limited in terms of movement forward. I think we have to bring this into our program that the ministers and the accounting officers can come and explain to us what are they doing against these things. Often one gets the impression that it is okay if it's on paper, but they just don't do anything in terms of consequences and corrective actions and remedial actions. So I think we have to call on the ministers and say, come and explain to us what is going on here. Why is the Auditor General so frustrated that they are going so far as to issue a letter like that to us? So it's actually an indictment on them, and they must please come and explain to us, because we cannot allow this. This is certainly what this letter is basically a reflection on us, saying that you are members of Parliament, you are not securing and doing these things as you should be doing. So it is very serious, and one must take it in a very, very serious light. It's very frustrating as well. Thank you.
Yes. No. I thought it was saying that, Mr. Mare, that you are not doing what you ought to be doing, and or what is expected of you. I think it's not saying that. It's basically reminding us that let's keep pushing. let's keep pushing. So I accept it in that spirit, because the HS office is, I think it's 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10. It's in our meetings. So they are aware of what we are doing, including the meeting we thought would be able to get more information. You are not in this meeting, AJ. We closed it in the hope that you will try to secure some commitment on the part of the executive authority. We limited it to the minister, deputy minister, SecDef, and the chief of the defense force. We thought we would secure some commitment, you know, and get them to move, to make progress, you know. But that meeting was in Pretoria in September, I think September 8 or 9. But I can tell you, even after that meeting, we still have not made any progress. At least we are doing something, but if they can't move, it presents a stalemate. That's where the issue is. But we want AG also to report these matters, to take them to the logical conclusion in terms of the powers that we have given you. You know, I don't think that the issue of the duality in leadership in the department has been tested. You know, the executive retains the accounting authority, regardless of the setup within the department. She retains the accounting officer. She must come to you and say, these are the things, the steps I've taken, so that you can objectively assess whether indeed she has reached the point beyond which she can move. You know, I'm not satisfied that that has happened. You know, I really am not satisfied, because I am also not satisfied that even with the staff where she has the powers, the PSEF staff, you know, and there has been action. I'm not pretty convinced. So I think, let's apply the full measures of the act that empowers you to act on this. We'll be happy, because only then we'll see that the two bodies, ourselves and yourselves, are really complementing each other to the last, to the finishing line. Is it? So I understand the duality, but please test it. We have not tested it sufficient enough. That's my view. If you have to raise, what do you call that thing that you raise at the end? It's a letter of something. What do you call it?
Certificate of death.
Yeah. Have you raised that a certificate of debt in any of the departments? Have you really?
Not yet.
You see, that's where the problem is. Okay. So my problem is that you have the power that you have not used. Please, can you take it to that level? At least I would be happy if we are sitting in this meeting, we are talking that there is a certificate of debt, we have not paid the money into the fiscals. All right? So you heard us.
Noted.
Excellent. I support you, Chair.
You support me, yes. And DM, are you back? He's not back yet. All right. With that, sorry. Thank you very much. And we have reached 1 o'clock. And I know we have minutes. How many sets, Brian? I don't think we can deal with them now that we have reached 1 o'clock. How many sets?
We've got 2, Chair.
Would you mind if we defer them to the next meeting?
Please, Chair, if we could really try and finish them in the next meeting.
In the next meeting.
I support.
Okay. Colleagues, any objection to us closing the meeting?
No objection. Let me thank all of you for your participation and then thank the Office of the AG for this discussion. And it was meant to find each other on how we should move forward, given the stalemate. I'm happy that you were able to appreciate our limitation as well. And but we can still push the department to act, with all the powers that you and us have. With that, thank you very much, and until we meet again, thanks.
Recording stopped.